Good day, everybody. Welcome to another episode of It's a Long Road, the Ramble Series podcast. I'm your host, Ryan. With me today, of course, is Dominic.
What's Dominic, happening, Ryan?
How's it going, Dominic? How do you say your last name again?
Tartamella.
Tartamella. That's right. That man, it's simple. That is
it looks harder. Word. It looks harder than it is. I get every so often, I get somebody like pronouncing it right. Right off the bat, and I get excited.
That won't be me. In fact, I just went to the hospital, not the hospital, the medical hospital the other day, just to get a routine checkup on something, you know, herpes. But
you got to check it every couple months. You got to keep an eye on it.
I do. It flares up. So they butchered my last name. It's funny how many times my name gets butchered. It looks just like it sounds, or sounds just like it looks. We're Balkan.
Same thing with mine. I think people just look at it and they start overthinking it. Break it down. You got to go back to the elementary school, breaking it down thing.
Do it in Italian for me. Do it in Italian voice.
If I said it like my father would say it, which he's Sicilian, he would enunciate, like he'd say, Tartamella.
There you go. I love it.
Tartamella.
It's funny how like the Italian last names, they have that roll of the R's. Or it always sounds like a pasta.
You know what I mean? Right. So, Fettuccine.
Fettuccine. It's just interesting how last names will represent somehow the the language itself and how the language is spoken.
Yeah, it's funny that it's way. True. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, welcome to the Last Name of Podcast. I'm your host.
Well, we're now going to be talking about Stallone. Stallone.
Yeah, Stallone. So here's our State of the Union for the podcast. And it's important that we start off with this right away. So Dom and I talked offline, of course, as we do sometimes, obviously, before each show and between shows, we talk and say hi and we send clips and stuff to each other and stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to be honest about something here. So my problem is I'm purist. I hate not seeing things through.
Right.
But the cartoon was a I never suspected the cartoon. So when I started the Ramble Series podcast, so
I never thought that they would come. No.
Let's be honest. Okay, so in all seriousness, this is not a bit. This is serious. When I started the Ramble series, it was always going to be the end goal, meaning barring a legit like prequel series on HBO with the Ramble character or whatever it might be, maybe a Ramble 6 film, which will never happen with Sly at this point. It just won't. But those kind of ideas were in my head at the time when I started. Like, other than something legit product, this was it. And that's the same for my Rocky podcast. I have a Rocky podcast called One More Round, the Rocky Series podcast. Uh-huh. I already did it once with my brother, Ruben. That's why it was called Going the Distance. We went the distance. The whole idea why we called it Going the Distance was we were going to go the distance. We're going to see the series through, which we did. We went right to Creed 3, but then I got new co-hosts and Katie and Kyle. And I was like, I'll do it one more time. And it's called One More Round. That's why that one's called that. But it's going to end. After the Rocky series is over, and we're only going to go up to the sixth film. We're not doing redoing the Creed films. We're ending it. And that's always been the goal. Mm-hmm. We are going to do some boxing films afterwards on the same feed.
That makes sense.
That was kind of my idea with this. Old joking aside, I was like, well, Rambo is a Vietnam film character. Right. So I was going to do some Vietnam films. So we're going to go back to that. So all things being equal, old joking aside, the Frank, the cartoons. I'm going to go back to that. So with the One More Round, I'm doing all the films, Rocky films, again with Katie and Kyle. But I think like once a month even, we're just going to do a boxing film, like once a month. Just kind of keep the feed open. Because I love the guys and I love Dom. Mm-hmm. The thing with Dom is I've been having a blast with Dom.
Oh, yeah, I have a great time on here too.
Thanks, brother. And I didn't want it to end. So when the cartoon kind of got introduced and the Frank segment got introduced, it was a way of just hanging out with Dom.
Right.
I agree. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do, folks, what we're going to do here is we're going to do the mini series. So we're going to see the mini series through. It's 5 episodes. It ran from a Monday to Friday in September of 1988 or whatever it was, 87. When this series was debuted, it was actually a mini series. It was a Monday, Friday airing. So 5 episodes of Rambo and Savage. We're going to finish that mini series, but then we're going to put the cartoon to rest because to do 60 more episodes.
Yeah.
The same things will repeat, you know, the character's voice, the terrible animation, the ridiculous stunts. It's going to be a recycling of the same garbage as Saturday morning cartoons were back then. And then the same with Frank. To a large degree, we're already starting to see it. As much as we love watching Frank and, you know, having fun with him, it's sort of repeating itself.
Of course.
His antics, the gun shooting, the semi-racial comments, anti-gay, just work out a few times a week, whatever it is. It's very
secretly gay.
Secretly gay, anti-gay at the same time. So those will end along with the cartoon. So essentially, yes, for real now, folks, no joke, the Ramble series will officially end in 3 more episodes, including today. So we're going to do episode 3 of the cartoon today, in 2 more weeks, episode 4, and 2 more weeks after that, episode 5, .. I guess right. You could say the grand finale episode will be the bourbon drinking. So that, and that kind of works out.
It's fitting.
Yeah, it is fitting.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. It's like we're toasting the podcast.
Right.
And we're going to toast to Uncle Frank's bourbon. Mm-hmm. Now, the good news is the bourbon's taken so long to come to us.
You're lucky for the listener. We're never getting the bourbon.
Yeah, we're never getting the bourbon. Thus, the show will never end. I don't even know if that's a joke at this point. Right. I don't even know anymore. Mm-hmm. So that will be the final episode. So like, let's say in 4 weeks from now, whatever it is, the 5th cartoon episode is done. Of course, we'll talk about this. We'll then give the status on the Uncle Frank's bourbon drink at the time. And at that time, we'll state, of course, where we are regarding the drinking episode. Because here's the thing. We want people to join us for the drink. But at the same time, since this will be the final episode, if you want to come on air and say thanks to me and Dom for our time on the show and say hey or send us an email, that will be that episode. We'll make that episode will be the final, like, read the emails. You can come on and say hi on our StreamYard. We'll send a link to anyone mm-hmm. that wants to join us to say hi to us, talk about the show. We'll make a party of it, essentially. We'll make it like 2 hours long. Who knows? But we'll make it a party, drinking, talking. Mm-hmm. And again, if nobody shows up, Dom and I will still just drink and talk about the show.
Cry on each other's shoulders.
Cry on each other. Absolutely. So then after that episode, on this feed, so never really, obviously you can do what you want, but don't discontinue this feed, because after that I will still do some Vietnam films. That is my intent. I want to do that. Dom will be on one. I'll get some other hosts from the other podcasts and other guest hosts. So I'm still going to get guest hosts from other podcasts to come on and talk and Vietnam films.
And don't forget that, what was that, Veterans Day, that Frank Stallone movie that might never come out? That might be somewhere down the line.
Absolutely. No, that will be on here. So anything, if there's a Frank Stallone movie or big news, don't think we'll never do Frank again. There's the chance of Frank to do something crazy. I might curate just a bunch of clips. Hey, Dom, you got a free Friday or free Saturday or something?
Right, absolutely. Especially if he does something crazy, I could see us doing that, definitely.
So ultimately, the Ramble podcast will officially end. So after the drinking episode, any episode after the drinking episode is what I'm getting at. It'll be a Frank Stallone segment. Absolutely. It'll be a Vietnam film. So all the things that this podcast kind of produced will continue on this feed. So if you like the shenanigans, the other thing is people, Dom, find this show later. Like, people will find the Ramble podcast
of course
months later and they're going to binge it. That's great. So I want them to know too, when they get to this point as well.
Right. Binging process.
Hey, don't cancel your subscription, because and by that point, they're going to see there's a Vietnam film, there's more Frank or whatever. So, so there you go. That's the State of the Union. It was hard when I sent this text to Dom. It was hard for me because it's like killing your babies. I don't want it to end, but
filling up the bathtub and drowning your babies. No, but I completely agree. Even we joked around about the cartoon, and I was going to do it as long as we were going to be able to do it. But I was like, watching the quality of the cartoon, I was like, I don't know how long we're actually going to be able to do this cartoon to make it through 65 episodes.
Well, because it's funny, but it's the same joke. And that's the problem.
Yeah, you don't want to beat a dead horse. We have too much pride for that.
it's the same joke. There's nothing new when we're making fun of Rambo 5 or any scenes from the Rambo films. There's a new scene coming up each time. It's never a repeating scene or mantra. With the cartoons, it's constantly the same thing.
You figure as these go on, they probably get progressively worse.
Right.
Realistically, in episode 30, it's probably almost unwatchable, I would assume, because they're not really off to a super strong start.
I do want to say thanks to Zip, though, our last guest co-host that came on the show. He actually bought me the Ramble Force of Freedom complete series on Blu-ray. So this is good news, bad news. The bad news is, Zip, I'm sorry, we won't be using
it. The good news is you managed to get Zip to buy you a box.
But the good news is I think he bought a pirated copy for me. So I don't think he spent a lot of money. Because look at this. Check it out. So here it is.
Wow, yeah.
That's a pirated copy. That's pirated artwork.
There hasn't been an official release, I think, of the complete series.
No. And I definitely don't use it. Look at this.
Face shots are the best.
And then if you look at the DVDs themselves, whoever did this put a lot of work in, but this is not official, whatever the company.
Looks pretty good.
It looks pretty good, but it's not the official discs that were made by the company. Because even on the disc, you see here the space, they leave the space for this room. They don't do that on Blu-rays where there's, oh, look, there's more room on the disc. You can add stuff.
Right.
But anyways, that's fine. So Zip, thank you so much. Don't get me wrong. This is cool. Thank you so much. I will one day maybe go through them all for sure. If you want your money back, I can send you your money back. But that's the thing. So again, if you're listening to this episode and you're, all right, big State of the Union address. Thanks everyone for listening to that. We know why everyone's here. Let's just get to it. This is really why everyone's here.
And here's another segment of Frank Stallone. Who is this guy?
Okay, we got some big videos today. We got some really big videos today. And we got some photos we're going to go through as well. A big reveal, Dom. A big reveal.
An earth-shattering reveal is coming up, folks.
Here we go. Here's some videos. Right now we have Frank wearing a Detroit Tigers cap. Is that a Detroit cap?
Yeah, I think so. Detroit Tigers.
He's wearing his Frankenstein t-shirt. Get it? Because he's Uncle Frankster. He's wearing the Frank.
Of course.
Why the connection between Frankenstein and the Frankster? Why did
he... Maybe he's saying that he's dumb and he doesn't... He's afraid of fire. I don't know.
You remember Phil Hartman's Frankenstein on Saturday Night Live?
Oh my God, I love Phil Hartman. I love Phil Hartman. Oh God, I miss him every day.
Why is Phil Hartman shot? Why isn't Frank Stallone shot in bed?
The world is not fair. The world is not fair.
It's so true. Why are the good ones killed by their wives?
Oh my God.
Maybe that's why Frank never got married. He didn't want anyone to shoot him in the sleep.
He was smart in that aspect. I see he's wearing a watch as well.
Yes. He's wearing a watch. He said he'd never wear a watch again. Wear a watch again.
What a liar.
This guy.
Well, here we are on Monday. Some good news. Gavin Newsome, prop one, might go into the toilet. So
Gavin Newsome. So I guess he's not a fan.
I take it he's not a fan, Ryan.
So he says prop one is apparently going to go in the toilet. Do we know what prop one is? Do you know?
To be honest, I don't even know. I'm not even going to try to lie and make up something.
It's something to do with the homelessness, I think. California prop one, narrowly passed by voters, aims to radically reduce the soaring homelessness by changing the way money is spent on housing and mental health services. But critics argue the measure will hamper local health care efforts, ultimately affecting some vulnerable Californians and failing to fully address three intertwined but distinct problems. I think Frank is basically saying he doesn't like David Newsome, but he loves the idea that the homeless people will be eradicated somehow, some way. I think he's freaking
take them out to a vacant lot and shoot them all. That's what Frank wants.
Look at his right ear there. Does that look weird to you? His ear is that the hat?
Is it the hat? I think it's the hat.
We don't have to pay for people that don't want to work, that don't want to do anything, and don't want to clean up after themselves. That'd be nice.
So he's saying we're not going to spend money on people that don't want to work, don't want to do anything, don't want to clean up after themselves. Frank, where are they going to go?
Send them to Frank's place.
Yeah, Frank's got some extra room in his house.
Also, we had a good workout, which is really...
I love that transition, by the way.
he's always the king of the transitions.
It's amazing segues. He's just talking about how he can't wait to get rid of all the homeless people. And then he goes, anyways.
Also, we had a good workout, which was really good today. We did chest, which is always very important to do.
Very important to do your chest.
And other than that, things are going good.
Other than that, Dom, things are going good. Other than the homeless people and my chest workout.
The whiskey's coming.
Beautiful state of California can turn around and just clean house. Because I got to tell you, this was the destination place of the country at one time.
Now, did you catch what he was saying there?
The destination place of the country.
That's his Frank way of saying there was a time that people, you know, came to California for the gold rush. Yes, we know there was a time, but but listen to how he says this.
It's this clean house.
What do you think he means by that?
Well, is he saying like politically, like get everybody out of office that he doesn't like?
No, I think he's talking about the people. Again, the homelessness.
Oh, he's talking about the homelessness. Oh,
yeah. Hey, look, I don't have any answers. The reality is there's people with mental health issues that then bleed into drug issues, which then bleeds into, of course, they're not going to take care of their tents and their cardboard boxes. It's a disaster. It's a physical eyesore disaster. At the end of the day, they're humans. I don't know what you can do. I don't know. Do you throw them in a fiery pit?
You lead him. You lead him. Hey, we got some food this way. Come on, and then you just blow them away. I don't know.
Yeah, like the Pied Piper, you know, whistle them out into the ocean.
It's one of those problems that they got to go somewhere. That's so it's like, where do you put them? Do you build more shelters? Then some people don't like that sometimes.
Because that's what he's saying here. He's saying clean house because California used to be a pretty state. It used to be a sought after state, but now we got a bunch of homeless people here. We got a clean house. Make California great again. That's what he's basically saying.
Because I got to tell you, this was the destination place of the country at one time. Beautiful weather here. Go up in the mountains, it's snowing. Go in the ocean, go fishing, streams. But it just seems that it took a wrong turn.
He's having a heart attack on camera. He just starts rubbing his chest. He's got a little heartburn, as you call it.
No, Dom, he's feeling it in his heart. His heart is aching right now for California.
Oh, that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah, his heart breaks. Let's look at it. Yeah, his heart is breaking for California.
But it just seems that it took a wrong turn a few years ago. So hopefully the people that work for a living, that pay their tax dollars, will get something out of it.
So he's saying that the people are paying their taxes will get something out of it. Again, I think he's saying the people that are paying taxes, that money will be used to get rid of these homeless people.
Execute the old people, the homeless people, I mean.
Every tax dollar is towards one bullet. One bullet, one homeless person.
That's all it takes, one bullet.
Other than that, have a great day. Bless.
Whoa. Whoa.
So I'm going to have to mute this, of course, but for our YouTube copyright claim is going to come up.
But Instagram's a little
bit. Of course, you hear the Thunderstruck. We all know the song. All that's happening during the song is Frank is doing sideways arm curls, I guess, towards his head. Yeah. He's wearing his toque, his snow cap, sort of a dress shirt at the gym. But
let me tell you something. His gym wardrobe, that dress shirt. Why does he wear a dress shirt? That's something I would wear out to dinner.
Like, yeah, that's a nice shirt.
That to the gym?
He's looking sharp, and he's wearing this. Why the snow cap too? Maybe it's cool in the gym. I don't know.
Maybe hair don't fall off.
That's true. He's patting down the hair. Well, speaking of hair, he's going to bring it up here, by the way. So now he's standing outside. It's a little cooler out. It's gray skies. He's wearing his jacket. He's not wearing his Uncle Frank Bourbon's jacket, but he's just wearing a jacket here.
Because the company went kaput.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Hi, this is Frank Stallone, not Lindsey Buckingham. I know.
Fleetwood Mac.
Now he kind of does this is what he says, because he says his hair looks like Lindsay's. That's why.
No, we have the same hair, but this is Curly Frank. Anyway,
he said Curly Frank. We have the same hair. Just it now though. When he tilts his head down, it looks like very red. The top of his head, doesn't it look like kind of red?
Scalp.
Maybe after they glue the hair to his head, it's like irritated.
There's no way. Now that we're actually seeing the top of his head, that cannot be his. That's the natural hair that grew from his head since his birth. There's just no way.
No way. No way. I would bet my life on it. I would take the bullet to the head. The bullet to the head. He's very veiny. Side note, Stallone's very veiny in that movie. He's probably the veiniest.
That's the last film he took a shirt off in.
Oh, and he's veiny. There's like a scene in a sauna, right?
He has his actual tattoos. He's showing off his tattoos. Yes. Like there's no makeup on them. That's the last shirtless photo we have of Sly, I think, actually. That's the last shirtless.
My favorite part of that movie is when there's the dialogue that is the title. Like he's saying to somebody, he's like, you could get a bullet to the head.
Because you and me or nobody will blow off your head like a bullet would.
Anyway, hey, forget Rolexes. I'm wearing these 1950 Wittenauer watches. I love these.
Wittenauer watches, 1950s. It's a Wittenauer. I'm going to say 1950s watch. Let's see if that's what he's wearing there. It doesn't really quite look like what the pictures I have here. Oh, maybe that one there. Okay, so he's wearing a 1950s Wittenauer watch is all he's seeing here. Fair enough. Okay.
These old watches from the 50s with a Spidex, with a Spidel Twistifex band.
He don't even know what he's saying. I don't think that's correct terminology. I'm not a watch guy, but like, I don't even know what he just said. Some of those aren't even words.
He says Spidex. I think that's one of Spider-Man's superpower. Yeah. Power thing.
Spider sense tingling.
So for our listeners, of course, he was pulling on the wristband. Remember those old style watches where you could pull on the wristband that has elastic quality to it? That's what he was doing there. Then he said it was a Spidel Twistex is how he corrected himself. I don't know if that's the official term either, but
I love these watches. Anyway, we had a good workout today.
There we go.
I love these watches. Anyway, we had a good workout. I have fake hair.
And Uncle Frank's bourbon launches on Friday.
Oh, it launches on Friday. Now, he's talking about his official... He went to the meet and greet. I wish I got some of the video footage.
We'll talk. Let me tell you something, Ryan. If I was closer, this was in New Jersey, New York, I would have been there. I would have been your man on the scene.
This was in Jacksonville, Florida. And I gave out the call out to any of our listeners to give us some sort of intel, or nothing happened. Shame on you listeners, or we just don't have any in that area, which is probably more the case. But
anyone that ordered should be getting theirs soon.
Oh, great.
Great. It's a good update.
Awesome. Can't wait. The original shipping date was supposed to be February 15th. It is now, the time it's recording, March 29th.
We're coming close to April 15th, honestly.
And I did check my order again. It still says awaiting shipment.
But you got some kind of update, right? Didn't you get an update recently?
Yeah, the last episode we talked about how if you pre-ordered, which I did, if you're one of those pre-order early bird orders, you were supposed to get the first shipments. So okay. I can't wait.
I have gotten no update. I have just gotten the original emails that were sent to me that I have in a safe file, because I'm going to probably be going against somebody soon and showing the proof.
So this is what I'm asking for our listeners. Those who have ordered online, has anyone received their order online? Now, people have received the bottle because they went to the signing and meet and greet in Jacksonville, Florida. So some people do. There's a show on our network called the Round 14 Podcast. One of the hosts had the opportunity because they're in Florida. So they went to the meet and greet to meet Frank.
Oh, nice.
And Frank actually did a mini interview with one of the hosts that he's going to put on hit their show.
Awesome.
He did some live streaming from the event.
Hmm.
Two things. So Frank was at this event with two owners of Frank's Bourbon, the two guys running the show.
Okay.
It's your basic warehouse, quite empty looking, nothing much to it, sure. They were explaining to Frank, I wish I recorded the... I just saw it on my phone, so I wasn't able to like screen capture to record it, but they were telling Frank how the whole operation works. Frank was listening to this for the first time.
This is the first time he's met them, probably.
Yes, maybe via Zoom or something, sure. Right. But this is their first face-to-face. They were acting kind of nervous around him. They were telling Frank how the bourbon was made. They're showing him the machinery, how it's made, and Frank's asking questions. He had no idea how this stuff was made.
Right, right, of course. Why would he?
And let me tell you, the crowd was bustling. There was no crowd. The guy was live streaming at one point, just walking around with his video camera, live streaming, quote unquote, the event. Mm-hmm. There was bourbon bottles everywhere, like lined up nice and, you know, look at all the bourbon bottles ready to be shipped. I hope.
Right. Yeah, hopefully.
Probably 200 bottles maybe, as it like sort of display like. And there was little mini platform for Frank to sit on to get photos with people, sit on a stool, sign their bottles. The person was walking around with the camera. There was like a lady, I think, just chit-chatting with Frank and nobody else waiting to talk to him. It was like they were over it. They were over talk. Like,
any sign of Alex the trainer?
No, Alex. No, he's busy training other celebrities, man. He doesn't have time for
that. That's true. I forgot.
So tell me how you like it.
Would love to, Frank. Can't wait. Our final episode. We'll do just that, Frank.
Definitely.
Write a little review.
He says, write a little review. There's nowhere to write the review. On their website?
Just write it as your Facebook status.
That's what he's saying. Just write a review somewhere, somehow.
I'm going to write it down on a piece of construction paper with crayon.
Appreciate it. We're really looking forward to a new beginning.
How do you have a new beginning when you don't have a beginning? There's been no beginning. We're having a new beginning.
I guess he's looking to be a whiskey salesman from now on. He's giving up the singing. He's giving up.
You keep saying whiskey. It's bourbon, isn't it?
Bourbon, whiskey, whatever the hell it is. It's not coming. It doesn't really matter. He's giving up his illustrious music and movie career to be a bourbon man.
But I'll never leave music.
Oh, okay. I was just canceled out immediately.
What with that segue? Talking about the bourbon, and he goes right into, like, somebody just asked a question. Let's try it again. Frank Stallone, thanks for coming on the show today. You're a gold record seller with your big hit from that disco movie. Is music always going to be a part of your life?
But I'll never leave music.
Oh, good. Okay, good. But Frank, that's great that you're never going to leave music. What about acting? You've been in 83 films, you said before. Acting, how do you feel about acting?
Yeah, I could leave acting, but
we'd hate to see you go. You know, you've done 83 films. You worked with a lot of different actors. Would you like to share any thoughts on your feelings of the fellow actors you've worked with?
I like acting. I just don't like actors.
Hey, come on now, Frank. So, Frank, what do you mean you don't like actors? Would you like to retract that statement just a little bit? I don't want you to offend anyone you've worked with. Maybe you should retract that just a little bit.
No, I don't like actresses, but I like actors, and I like doing good.
I don't like actors, but I like actors.
I don't like actors, but I like actors. And look at his goofy grin here.
Yeah.
Is he okay?
I don't think so. I don't think, like, I think the mind is really starting to go with Frank.
So, but anyway, wish you all God's peace. God bless.
Look, I got my own interview with Frank. You like that?
There we go. Interview with Frank.
Okay, I've been getting bombarded by emails about the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight.
Bombarded. He probably got one person.
Probably like 2.5 people emailed him.
First off, what's his email address?
I wish I knew. It's probably easy to figure out than we think, though. It's probably like frankstallone2@AOL.com or something. It definitely is.
At Hotmail.
Yeah,
so he's going to share his thoughts here on the Jake. Is it Jake or Logan? I can't remember.
Jake Paul.
So Jake versus Mike here. He's going to share. Now, we know that Frank's a boxing expert, so he'll have something to say here.
Let me make it very clear.
I think it's Jake Logan Paul, actually. Yeah. I got to look it up now. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot now.
No, because it's bothering me because I'm forgetting. It's Jake. It's Jake.
Jake. Okay, so Jake Paul versus Mike. Jake versus Mike.
Tyson-Jake Paul fight. Jake. Let me make it very clear. Jake Paul is a rank amateur. The first time he fought a guy that was a bit of a boxer, he lost with Tyson Fury's brother. Here's the situation. Most young fighters like that, and he's not young, he's actually too old to start fighting. Most guys start at 7. They're all right-hand crazy.
What?
Why is he so out of breath, first of all? Most guys start at 7. Is that
everyone starts at 7?
I don't know if that's a fact.
Wow. I don't know if that's a fact either. So he's saying that, look, Mr. Paul, Jake, he's doing okay for starting late in his life. Mm-hmm. Isn't he? And his brother's in the wrestling. Isn't his brother doing okay in wrestling right now?
His brother, I think he signed a big contract with WWE.
Like I've seen some clips on Instagram and stuff. It looks like he's performing as a ring performer. He looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's jumping off turnbuckles and shit. Yeah. He's doing some wild stuff.
Good for them. I don't know them from Adam. I don't care, but they're businessmen and they're doing better than me. I'll tell you that much.
But you don't want to box Mike Tyson, right?
Well, it's not that. It's just I'm talking about Frank Stallone on a stupid podcast.
It's going to be an execution.
Everyone's right hand crazy. Mike Tyson, what's his best punch? Left hook to the body, left hook to the chin. Well, Mike,
look at the way he does his arm thing there.
Left hook to the body, left hook to
the way he's so kind of casual about it, like it's so natural for him to
he's so full of shit.
So here's a question: who wins their prime, Jake versus Frank, both in their prime? Both are 30 years old. Let's say they're both 30.
I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously I want to say Jake, but I don't know. Maybe Frank, you think he was an okay boxer? I mean, I don't think that.
It'd be a fun fight.
It would be a fun fight in their prime. It would definitely be a fun fight. We got to watch that Geraldo match that he fought Geraldo and see what his skills are.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
You can punch with both hands. And you see a week in how fast and how strong he is, how he moves his head. Once you throw that right hand, you're extended. He comes under. Bang! Left hook, and this kid has never been hit by a guy that hits like Mike Tyson. Okay, I've seen Mike fight. I've been around him. I was there when he won his title.
He said he was there when he won his title. Can you imagine? We go back in time. Let's go look on the internet when Mike Tyson first won the heavyweight championship. There's a picture of Frank with him next to him.
He hits hard. He hit me in the face.
I was there when he won the fight.
I was holding his arm up after he won the fight.
Yeah, I was like, well, he told Mike, when you took those beatings, I took them with you.
That's his beating.
You lose your family.
He's fast. He gets hit hard. Yeah, he's 57, but he knows how to gauge himself. You know? It's like this young guy, they're going to come out, he's going to be nervous. Mike's not going to be as nervous. He's going to come in like this. This guy's going to throw a right hand. Bang!
Well, why do I have to watch the fight now? Frank's calling.
I know. We just got the whole play-by-play. We're good.
And he's going to catch him with the shot, and that's going to be it. Or he's going to feel that power here on the arms. Because Mike knows.
I always love when Frank like is seemingly in danger of getting run over by a car because he's talking in a parking lot.
He's talking to park. Someone honks. He can never find quite the peaceful moment. There's always some sort of interruption from something. And he jumps a little bit. Oh. He wants to make sure he's not actually in the way of somebody.
Right.
How to take his time and pace. So you keep an eye out, and you remember you heard it first from Frankster Gangster.
Oh, shit. Frankster Gangster now. Never heard Frankster. That one before.
So he's making the call that this is how the fight's going to go down. So now he's got it on film that this is how it's going to go down. We need to, I don't know if we can somehow piece together the actual event, but that's going to be way in July. So our show will be over by then, but I don't know. But see, this is what I mean, folks. We might revisit sort of the, this is why it's going to be hard to hang up the Frank gloves. Look, I get it. It's going to be hard. We might just do some Frank standalone specials.
It ain't over till it's over. This sounds like something for the 80s. More like the 70s.
Okay. So there's a big musical track going on, but this was the video that they put on Frank's, of course, Instagram about the event. Now, when you watch this video montage of the event of Frank signing bottles at the Uncle Frank's Bourbon signing, the video editing is done very interesting. Tell me what you notice about the editing. What do you think it's trying to conceal?
Right off the bat, it's very zoomed.
Why do you think it's zoomed in on everything?
Because there's nobody else around.
That's right. Yes. So he's signing bottles. He's talking to people. He's signing shirts. People are very excited. He's getting the thumbs up with the photos.
Why is it showing?
I don't know why it shows us. It shows like the outdoor street of nighttime. I think it's to show that time has passed. The party's still going. So Frank's mingling with the public, me with John Q Public, and people got their glass up. And this girl here, this one bugs me. This girl here standing next to Uncle Frank's bourbon's like the little flag, whatever thingamajiggy. And she's all giddy and like, this is so exciting. This is so, you know, don't take a picture of me. And now look at these zoomed in shots of the Uncle Frank's bottles everywhere at the bar. Frank's mixing his own drink. And unfortunately, the music was so loud, I can't hear what Frank's saying. I was like, listen. They're like, hey, Frank's talking. Make sure you drown him out with the music. So they're going again back to people hanging with Frank and he photos with them. Okay, we got 7, 8, 9, 10 people. I wonder, truly, Dom, how many people do you think you actually showed up at this quote-unquote event?
Whoever's taking pictures with him, I think that's the extent of it. Because I think they needed everybody's photo. Whoever went up to him and took a picture, they would have used more if there were more. I think this is it. I think this is the numbers.
So look at this cute girl with Frank. That's somebody's daughter for sure that came with. There's no way this young gal.
Yeah, no, she wasn't dying to meet Frank Stallone. No. She probably don't know who Frank Stallone is.
Remember the Rocky Day photo, the video?
They're showing the whole audience and everybody.
Yeah, I would say the turnout was abysmal. Because like I said, the guy that was walking around with the camera, there's nobody around Frank. Mm-hmm. And this is still like daylight. No crowd, no lineup.
And don't forget, it was probably friends and family. There was probably a connection that people knew who he was. I'm sure like his friends are there too. So if you take away those people.
Yes. And their family and their friends. Hey, we're going to go see Frank Stallone. Do you want to enjoy? Oh, sure. I got nothing
else. Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to show you some pictures here from his Instagram. I thought this would be interesting. And again, the end photo, I think, is the key thing here. So yeah, there's a picture here. It's Frank with Dee Snider, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Frank says at Oak Tree, and who do I bump into? Dee Snider. So this is the gun range for Twisted Sister, who was celebrating his birthday with his lovely family. Then he goes on to say, we 80s rockers keep on getting on.
Sure. Christ, I can't. This guy. Delusional.
Somebody said, isn't Dee a raging lib?
Love the comments. You gotta love the Frank Stallone comments.
Somebody else said, what he said about the unvaccinated was deplorable. Funny stuff. People are funny. All right, this next photo. It's Uncle Frank here. He says, me with Mike Sherman and Frankie Sullivan. Frankie Sullivan, of course, is from Survivor. He's the one that wrote Eye of the Tiger. I'm not sure who Mike Sherman is. They're at a film premiere, though, at the LA Film Festival. The film premiere is for the film called The Session Man. It's on the life of the late Nicky Hopkins, who was an incredible pianist, who played with the Beatles, Stones, the Kinks. So, Dom, these are some big names, wouldn't you say?
Big hitters, yeah, heavy hitters. Yeah.
So Frank goes on to say, every great band on the planet. He also played with me on a series of concerts.
Listen, if you're talking about Beatles, Stones, the Kinks, you're talking about Survivor, you got to throw Frank Stallone into the conversation. He fits in there.
You know what he's doing. He's saying, if this man played with the Stones and he decided to play with me, I got to be somewhere on that level.
I'm on the same level. That in his mind, that means that he's on the same level as the Rolling Stones.
And the way he words it, he played with me on a series of concerts. It was an honor to share the stage with him. So he does say that part at the end. But why didn't he say, I had the honor to play with him on stage?
Yeah, you would think he would say that, because honestly, that guy's got a more esteemed career than him.
You think
if
so?
If he's really played with the Beatles, the Stones, the Kinks, he's definitely.
So there is a movie called The Session Man. The idea being that he's a session man. He's a session player. He played with these big bands. I'm wondering if Frank's in this film. And I would like to see this film. We should check that out.
Yeah, The Session Man. I got to look that up.
That's right. This next photo here is Frank at an eyeglass place where he gets his sunglasses, I guess, called the Eye Bar. And he's with the owner here. He goes, at the Eye Bar in Beverly Hills with my, sorry, Beverly Hill, he says. In Beverly Hill with my pal and owner, Rob Mione. Look at the job they did going gold on my classic Alpha Shades. Stop in. They have the best and most original styles and glasses. So there's the owner there, Rob. Look at these schmucks, though. These men. Look at them. It's so gross. They're so gross looking. Also, he's wearing the same outfit. Do you see this? That he wore in the gym doing the Thunderstruck video.
Good call.
It's the same collar shirt with the snow cap on. So was this before the workout, I presume? I dare say he's not wearing this after the workout, I would say.
I honestly think it's probably after the workout. I think post-workout, he went sunglass hunting.
And look at the owner. He looks sleazy. Can you imagine this guy picking up for a date if you're a girl or something?
He looks like a comic book villain. Like, he looks seriously.
Look, he's wearing this dog collar type chain. He's got another pair of sunglasses looped into that. I guess he's got the glasses he wears around the store type sunglasses. And then he's got the I'm going to my car for a car ride sunglasses.
Right.
In that fake hair color. Like, yeah, that's your natural hair color, buddy. I don't know why it bugs me. I hate it when men do this. To me, just act and look your age. You know, you can look like a sharp looking 7-year-old man, but there's nothing worse when a woman or a man tries to look 30 years younger. It just never looks good. It never suits you.
Even Frank's rocking the gray of his fake hair too.
He is rocking the gray of the fake hair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here we have a beautiful picture, Dom, of a beautiful mansion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should be fine. There's nothing, you know, Frank could just say, hey, look at a beautiful picture here of a mansion. But Frank says, while driving through near downtown LA, I'm always looking at architect items, homes, buildings, and marvel at some of the things I see. This street, Harvard off, his grammar, I apologize. This street, Harvard off Washington Boulevard, were some turn of the century. Boy, I am sorry, folks. I'm reading this for the first time out loud, and it's difficult. So he's saying that the homes here were turn of the century homes. Okay. Sad to say, the surrounding neighborhood is garbage. But I can just imagine what it was like 100 years or so ago when they had KKK and slavery.
Things are better when they were burning crosses on this lawn right here.
You know how badly he wishes he could live in that time?
Oh, forget it. They would hang him probably in that time, honestly. He thinks he's all nostalgic for that time. They would go back and they would hang him on a tree or something.
So he can't imagine what it was like 100 years ago or so. How society has decayed to a point where no one gives a hoot about homes or neighborhoods. But yes, they do. I'm looking at a home right now that somebody gives a hoot about.
Right.
Yes, there are bad apples everywhere. I get it. Look, I live in a beautiful home in a beautiful neighborhood. But if you start going to downtown Ottawa, I know. Yeah, I know. This is an issue everywhere.
There's always bad areas and poor areas.
So Barmaz 826 says, the illegal immigrants will take over the home. The squatters and destroy it.
Strong words, Barmaz. Strong words. 826. Again,
someone else, Sifu Mike says, this younger generation don't appreciate hard work and physical labor, let alone take pride in their work. Smalls Pot 2 says, Frank, yes. And it's all about beauty. Beauty with a capital B. And it's disappearing by design in everything. In music, in art, in architecture, in literature, reading current authors today, where a wonderful story is peppered with the F word in many paragraphs.
The F word? That's what you're worried about? You're worried about the fucking F word?
Through the book. Come on. How about our bodies? Fat and ugly seems to be the norm, along with the tattoos. I can't.
I hate the doomsday people. I hate the like everybody that's just like everything's like. And listen, there are things that are bad in the world. I'm not saying I try to be optimistic, but then there's those people that are like, ah, everything's wrong is happening. Everything wrong's been happening for the last 100 years. It's just
well, yes, of course it has.
Different things.
It's just it's the same poop, different pile.
Yeah,
humans suck. Yes, they suck. Mm-hmm. The internet's ruined us because it's just it now I see it everywhere. If I didn't have the internet, I wouldn't know about the state of LA. Like I would just look at it. It looks pretty good here.
That's what it is. Everything's intensified because people are posting about it. The news cycle, the 24-hour news cycle, one story gets run a million times. We don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Now, this is amazing news here.
Yes, yes.
Frank Sloan, he says here, I'm very excited and honored to be inducted into the California Music Hall of Fame. It's been long and winding road. The name of our podcast. That's what he said. It's been a long and winding road. Here's the announcement. Inductee announcement. The official California Music Hall of Fame is excited to announce the induction of Frank Stallone on our upcoming Sunday, April 14th, 2024 ceremony. It's my understanding, Dom, that I went to their YouTube page. They actually show the ceremonies. So yes, we're going to have to do a bonus episode.
Okay, absolutely. I wish I was closer to this because I would buy a ticket and go.
Oh, absolutely.
I would wear a tuxedo there and go.
Now, I went to their website to see past inductees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I recognized, I think the one guy who sang La Bamba was one of them.
Richie Valens?
Yes. Okay. That was one. That was the biggest name. Well, the second biggest name or the first biggest name was Leanne Rimes.
Okay.
And that was it. Every other name I've never heard of before. I don't know what their criteria is because isn't there a lot of bands and artists from California? Am I wrong about
that? Yeah, I would think so.
So I don't know what their standards are. I think what it is, I'm going to sound terrible for saying it. No offense to these guys. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you and I starting our own like.
Right. And they're probably seeing who they could get to come down there. Like if they're contacting Bruce Springsteen, he's like, "Oh, I'm not fucking going to that."
Yeah, why would Bruce go?
He'll probably go.
Yeah, you're near New Jersey, right now, so you could do I'm going to do the best New Jersey artist ever. Our first inductee would have to be, of course, Bruce Springsteen. We cordially invite Mr. Springsteen to our event. You think he's going to show up to some?
It's in my garage, and I'm just handing him a bowling trophy or something.
So we got some good comments here, some well wishes, of course. I love this one from Dickie Morris. He says, good for you, man. Well deserved. Some people don't realize the incredible musical talent that you are, Frank. Yeah, I think the whole world.
Tremendous on guitar.
Tremendous on guitar. But as a crooner, there's nobody better. Oh, come on.
He's a crooner? Come on. Frank Stallone is not a crooner.
No, he's not. Look, I'll give him credit. He probably plays a guitar better than he can sing. And that's not saying much. Have you heard him sing?
Oh, I've heard him sing.
So, of course, here's a photo. This is what I was talking about. This is him. So he was sitting at the stool here at the Uncle Frank's Bourbon's signing, and there was nobody around him. Just the one lady talking to him with the guy walking around with the camera. The crowds had dispersed at this point, but I love how he was still sitting here kind of like, will anyone talk to me? It seemed very – I almost felt bad for him. Mm-hmm. I should say this. As much as we're kind of poking fun, Dom –
no,
when I saw the live video of the event, when I saw like undoctored, unfiltered live video of the event when nobody was there, it felt very sparse and empty. I kind of felt bad for him.
Yeah, I could see him having that empty section. I've been to some conventions where there's that like C-list celebrity that's just sitting there and nobody's going over to the table. And that was definitely Frank.
It is Frank. Like he's barely D-list celebrity. Let's be honest. Here we go. Final photo of our segment here.
Mind explosion.
Now, this was sent to me from one of our faithful listeners, E.M. King, who also listens to my Rocky podcast. It's actually his son that did that Rocky trivia book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he sent this to me. It threw me off at first because I went to his Instagram to find it, and it wasn't there. So I thought, did he delete it? No, this was released in 2020, this photo.
I was going to say Frank looks younger.
Sorry, it's a picture of a boy, a young man, probably 21 to 25 years old. Looks like he's holding some sort of Frank photo or picture.
That's what he gave him for his birthday.
And it just says, today is my son Robbie's birthday. We wish him good luck in his musical and acting career and also his real life job. Love, Dad. So much to unpack here.
So much.
So I Googled it. I found the original Instagram. There were a couple comments like, you have a son? So that those did exist. People were saying, do you have a son? A kid? I Googled Frank Stallone's son. Nothing came up.
Nothing.
Does Frank Stallone have a child? Nothing. I also Googled this guy, like Rob Stallone. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Then there were people tagging Rob in the Instagram comments to his Instagram, like, oh, awesome.
Was it an Instagram?
Yeah, people saying, happy birthday, Rob. The account's no longer available. I'm like, no.
Oh.
Because I want to see his musical and acting career. Like, what has he done? What does he go by? What's his last name? Because I think his name was Hart, last name Hart. So I think he goes by his mother's last name.
Sure, so, Rob Hart.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts here?
This is mind-blowing, but he did mention that on the podcast, the bonus episode we did, that he had a son, and we were kind of taken aback by that. But yeah, I guess he's got a son. There he is in the flesh. I see a slight resemblance.
Is there a resemblance, or do you see it at all?
I feel like I feel like the eyes.
Okay. But. Yeah, so people are saying here, I had no idea you had a son. Happy birthday. A lot of people were wishing him well. Like I said, people did tag this guy in the post right here. His tag used to be Rob Your Heart. Again, I'll just Google Rob Hart, and I'm just trying to find this guy.
It's weird that this kid never came up before. I wonder if this is like a situation where he had a kid he didn't know about for years. Is that possible? Maybe in the last few years he met this kid finally.
This is so weird. Anyways, there you go, folks. I thought that was a pretty big reveal. Thanks to our sleuths. I don't know how E.M. King came across this, because he would have gone back. Maybe he Googled it, and somehow that's how he came across it, like the way I Googled it too, because I was like, how do you find old Instagram posts? I just wrote Frank Stallone's son. That Instagram story came up. Right. Wishing him happy birthday. So that's how I was able to find it myself. So
still trying to figure out why he's holding that photo of Frank, though.
So that's the only thing that Google comes up with. This is one Instagram story and nothing about Frank and his son.
It's wild.
It is weird. So his uncle is literally Sly. There's just no mention of anything.
Nothing.
Just, all right. Well, I mean,
that's big news, though. That's big Frank Stallone news.
That concludes another episode of Frank Stallone, Who Is This Guy?
I do miss covering the proper Rambo films, but all right.
There we go. Yes.
So this episode is episode 3 of the 5 episode miniseries. This one is called Battlefield Bronx.
I was excited when it was called Battlefield Bronx because I work in the Bronx.
Neck of the woods.
I work in the Bronx. The Bronx is so I'm in Staten Island, New York. The Bronx is like in the morning when I go there, it's like 45 minutes to an hour. Without traffic.
Why is it called the Bronx? What makes it the Bronx?
I mean, I don't know why it's called the Bronx, but yeah, it's an interesting place, the Bronx. The Yankee Stadium's over there. Some parts aren't the best area. The part I work in isn't the best area. Funny enough, they go to the South Bronx, and that's exactly where I work. I work in the South Bronx.
Oh, wow. Cool. So. Good for you. And you come out alive, eh? Do you use any of your Rambo skills to come out alive?
I have to.
Remember the first two episodes was... They were what's the name of the country again? El Libre or something like that.
Nacho Libre.
Libre. They're in that country. Savage is trying to take over that country. Twice now, they've been thwarted by Rambo's activities. But all of a sudden, now we're stateside. The war is coming home.
Well, right to New York.
So the helicopter from Nacho Libre, though, takes off with the president and the daughter. Mm-hmm. They're taking off. They're going to... I guess fly from Nacho Libre in the helicopter, one flight to the U.S. Is that possible?
I guess so. Yeah, it's one-way trip, I guess.
So they're going off, and the reason why they're going to America is to meet with the U.N. leaders. He's going to give state his case about Nacho Libre's country. Mm-hmm. And then there's a scene coming up where behind the president's helicopter is a jet shadowing the helicopter.
right.
Now, which vehicle travels faster?
I would assume a jet, right?
Now, is a jet able to slow down? Like, how much can a jet slow down?
Exactly.
Like, I actually don't know. You know what I mean? Like, a car can go 5 miles an hour or whatever.
I would think it would be
but
harder.
But a jet's in the air. A jet, it can't idle too much or else it starts to fall. Doesn't it need the jet stream to stay afloat? Am I wrong?
You would assume that. I'm not an expert in the aviation field, but...
This episode of the cartoon is absolutely bonkers.
This is bananas. I don't know if it happened already, but I just love there's a dialogue with Troutman. It's quick, but it's like,
okay, yeah, let me get it. I got right
the
here.
Guy, this guy's like, where's Rambo? And he's like, yeah. I have no idea, but he'll be there when you need him. Like,
what? I have some good news for you, Mr. President. The UN agreed to an emergency session as soon as you arrive in New York.
Okay, so yeah, they're going to New York. They're flying from Nacho Libre to New York in the helicopter with this jet shadowing behind. Who's behind that jet? Who's in this jet? And it's like a sleek. Okay, we'll get who's in that jet in a second.
Where's Rambo? I have no idea, but I'll tell you this. He'll be there when you need him.
You'll be there when you need him. Then it cuts to the jet. And who's in the jet?
Hell yeah, it's Santa Claus.
Why is he flying this jet?
I don't understand.
Where did he get the jet from? Did Turbo have an extra jet in his garage?
I guess so. Yeah, his boy Turbo probably had it.
So now we're seeing the New York. Is this JFK? Is that the New York airport? Probably.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Savage has troops here on the Savage airport. And this guy grabs out of the blue a freaking flamethrower and starts torching the soldiers waiting for the president from Nacho Libre to arrive.
I love the flamethrower because I there's somebody that goes, flamethrower. It's like right when he pulls it out.
Watch out. A flamethrower.
So this guy just comes out with a flamethrower and starts literally barbecuing people.
Crazy.
Then a van opens up with more Savage crew. But why do they look like they're from like...
And the Iron Sheik comes out.
Because I think it's my understanding that Savage is a worldwide organization. The showcase, they have people from every country. Mm-hmm. And then they start throwing 20 rockets at this helicopter. The rockets actually blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Does the helicopter have some sort of like space shield? How is it able
to... It must. Those are close explosions too.
But the helicopter doesn't blow up. The missiles blow up. And then the jet comes screaming in. We as a viewer think, oh... This jet's going to take down the helicopter. No. This is what the jet's going to do. It's going to get between the missiles and the helicopter because it's being flown by Rambo.
There he is. Look at him with a sleeveless sweatshirt. I love it.
He wears it the whole episode, by the way.
He does. He doesn't take it off. There's something, I don't know if you noticed it. There's like an error a little bit later in the episode.
Yeah. It shows him with his shirt off for a second with a cut. And then, right. Yeah. So now they're launching bigger missiles at the helicopter, trying to take this thing down. And then Rambo flies his helicopter. Flies his jet between the helicopter and the missile, blows up the jet, and the girl starts screaming, Rambo's dead!
He just seemingly flies into the air after this.
He ejects. Is he able to eject?
He's got way too much control for a guy that just got ejected from him.
So he catapults out of the jet that exploded. And well, how did the daughter, know that Rambo's in the jet flying anyways?
Yeah, because 5 minutes ago they were asking where Rambo was.
Right? Now Rambo's dead. So more missiles are being launched. So now the jet took on one missile, so that jet's gone. More missiles are being launched. Rambo is in the air right now
with a rocket launcher.
He turns midair, aims the rocket launcher at the missiles that are already almost at the helicopter. How does this all work?
Have that control while he's falling too. Like,
I will give full credit to the animators that the explosion animation is pretty okay.
Yeah, it's good.
It's got that Japanimation look to it. Mm-hmm. So Rambo's now parachuting down. Mm-hmm. Rockets are being launched at him. He's able to dodge them. One punctures the parachute, however. He has two parachutes. Sorry, I didn't realize he had two there. Did you see that?
Oh, he's got two.
The one got damaged. He popped out of the one that got damaged. I can't with this episode. This episode is actually
the flamethrower is going wild.
The Savage soldiers let go of the flamethrower. It's going wild, lighting the whole airport of fire. The other ones had nothing on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Did the writer say we have to turn Rambo into a Marvel character?
I think there was a lot of cocaine in the writing room. I think there was probably like, they were like, we got to make this action packed. We have to make this, like, we have to sell this cartoon.
Because did you see what Rambo did? So the airport's on fire. Look at the flame. He walks through the flames.
He's the Terminator right here. He just walks through the flames.
We should add the Terminator music.
It barely touches me.
It's hot.
So the flamethrower tank truck is about to explode. They say if this thing goes off, it's going to take out the whole airport, apparently. So like a wick, the flames are going towards the tanker. Rambo leaps in the air like a superhero.
This is my favorite, the animation here. I think they needed to fill frames.
So here's the flub that Dom was talking about. So Rambo is going to draw his knife from his waistband, right. But the animation, like Dom is saying, now they use a cut from a different scene.
And he's got no shirt on.
He's got no shirt on. That is so bad. Why is it so hard to show him draw the knife?
Well, it's funny because I thought in all the chaos that I missed something. Like I had to rewind it because I was like, oh, did he rip off his shirt in all the chaos? And it's like, no, he didn't. He didn't rip off his shirt.
So he pulls out the knife from his shirtless body. Shirt goes back on. Like I said, the hose is on fire, about to ignite the tank, essentially like a wick, like a bomb. This is how he dismantles it. He takes out his knife. He throws the knife at the hose, slices the hose in half so the fire doesn't get to it. Then he chucks the hose that's on fire. Now, Dom, why does the hose explode in the air? Do we know why that might have?
No idea.
Okay.
No idea here.
What a sad-looking Statue of Liberty.
That is like depressed Statue of Liberty.
She's like, please don't put me in this cartoon. Please. Look at that. Rest in peace, eh? That's the two towers there.
You got the Twin Towers there.
Twin Towers. Sorry, two towers. The Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, two towers, yeah.
Savage, apparently, they have people in the U.S.
Yeah, there's
Bronx.
The shot. Mm-hmm.
I love how they have their own cell phones, though. They, even though they're in the slums of the Bronx in 1986 or whatever this was, they still like Spike still has his own cell phone.
Give me a progress report.
I had a note about this guy too, because one of their names is Jerkface, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that's right. Razor Blade. I think this is Spike Razor. I think this is Spike here.
Kind of reminiscent of like Ninja Turtle villains. They
mixed
feel
with Mad Max.
Like
they're
that.
Like Mad Max characters. They're Mad Max characters.
Don't push. We're going as fast as we can.
Don't push.
So what they're doing here at this Bronx base of some sort, General Warhawk's asking, look, how is the progress going on your Bronx base? Because we're doing UN negotiations. This whole part here is they're booby-trapping their headquarters for Rambo's arrival. Because what they're going to do, folks, spoiler alert, they're going to kidnap the general's daughter, sorry, the president's daughter at the UN meeting. They've got barbed wire here at the base. It's going to be electrocution barbed wire. They've got a sink pit for Rambo to fall in.
They got it all planned out.
They got it all planned out. All these booby traps are going to take care of Rambo. So they're feeling pretty comfortable about their base here, the Bronx base, so to speak. And I just like how General Warhawk is working with these guys in New York. Like he's got contacts in New York working with the baddies. So now Rambo's at the UN at a desk, I guess, and he's just sitting on the desk talking to Cad here, the master of disguise.
According to my source, the general's got something cooking in the South Bronx. I'll check it out undercover.
Why does she have to check it out undercover?
She's got to dress up like an old lady.
Speaking of old lady, this old secretary is walking by Rambo who's sitting at the Troutman's desk or whatever. I guess this is the Pentagon, sorry. Mm-hmm. And she sees Rambo sitting on the desk uncouthly, and she's not very happy about that. That's what this scene's about. Oh, look at him just sitting on that desk. Like, what an animal. That's that whole scene there.
I didn't realize that, honestly.
I think it's the same secretary that was in Rocky's office, in the Jurgen's office there in the first film. Now we're cutting to the UN. All the nations here are meeting. And the Nacho Libre president is here to talk about the conditions of his country, saying, hey, look, General Warhawk is destroying our country. We need help. We need people. We need the help of all the nations. And Spike's gang come flying into
right
the
in.
UN.
Motorcycles.
Start shooting. They shoot out the lights. They come in here shooting up the place with Uzis. So so Rambo's going to walk into the interpreters. You know, as you know, the UN nations have all these different speakers, so they have interpreters working so people with their earpieces can hear what's going on in these meetings. I love how Spike's gang shoots the big UN symbol of peace or whatever, the United Nations, lands on Nacho Libre's desk as he's speaking. The daughter comes up to the president and says, no, my father, leave him alone. Of course, they grab her. Which is semi like sexually assaulting type grabbing. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it goes right.
Listen to this.
Pretty lady.
No, stop! Help!
For a kid's cartoon, definitely.
Yeah. So here's all the interpreters up here just chit-chatting as there's total chaos on the floor. People are like literally shooting, but they're just talking. Like every one of their faces would be at the window right now. I love how they're
right.
So what are you doing this weekend? So Rambo goes up to the windows to see the action below. He opens up the windows. He grabs a flagpole with a spearhead on it, takes the flag off. Where did he get the bow from, number one?
No idea, but he's doing some MacGyver shit here.
Yeah, and people are watching him like, what's he doing? This is crazy.
There's a lot of long... I noticed in this episode in particular, I guess to save on the budget, there's a lot of like long, dragged out animation. You know, like whether it's the Rambo face. They zoom in on that. They hold on there for a while. These people, they hold on them way too long.
So I think where it led to believe this is what's called a compound bow. I think he pulled it out of his pocket. Like there's some sort of inventory. You know, when you're in a video game, you can carry all this inventory on you. This is what he did. He just pulled it out. But I love how he has a compound bow, but he doesn't have an arrow.
So he uses the bow.
You know what I mean? Like, why does he have a bow but not an arrow?
Duck the arrow.
So he makes a makeshift arrow out of the flagpole, shoots it at the ceiling. Now, this is what...
Got the flex.
Did you catch how many close-up flexes of muscles we had in this episode?
A lot of flexes.
Did we get into that in the first two?
No, too much. No, you got
I don't recall any.
I only remember in the montage when he was like lacing up his boots, but that was about it.
What's with the twinkle in his eye? You catch that too?
I don't know what that is.
This episode was weird, man. There was cocaine in this episode. Look at this.
Why I thought, honestly, twinkle? For a second, I thought he was going to shoot lasers out of his eyes or something.
At this point, I wouldn't be surprised. The way they made this Rambo character superhero, he was walks through flames. Well, we'll see some more superhuman strength come. Like, there's superhuman strength in this episode. Mm-hmm. Laser eyes. But now he's made this arrow to shoot the ceiling to create some sort of like swing. That's all this is.
That's all.
Wouldn't it have been easier? Just to jump down? Couldn't he just jump down and run down the stairs
and go stab a guy with a flagpole? Because it was like a waste of a flagpole, honestly.
It's a waste of time, waste of flagpole. It took him all the time to make it just for him to land on where the motorcycles were, and then he doesn't even get them, anyways. Mm-hmm. This is the only good part of the whole episode. There's a son with a hot mother here, and they're like on a mother son outing to see the history, and the kid doesn't want to go to the UN building because it's boring.
Right.
There, Ricky. This will be educational. Besides, it's the Center for World Peace.
So now he grabs his mom's arm. Yeah, we're going to this. These bikers come out with a kidnapped daughter, and the kid's like, yeah, this is the place. So they run inside, and Rambo comes running out. So he's still on foot chasing them.
He essentially did nothing. He took all that time, like you said, building the bow and arrow.
A grenade is thrown at Rambo, which is he's impervious to explosions.
That's apparently close range, too. That's a close range.
Not
explosion.
Even a scratch. But it takes down the UN pillar. Now, check out this human.
Another one that just goes on forever. Like,
look at the muscles.
Look at it. The sweat.
The veins. There's a vein that popped out there. So the column is crushing. It's crushing Rambo. You also notice there's very little dialogue with Rambo in this episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of moaning and panting, though, weirdly.
So listen to him struggling, trying to get this column off his chest so it doesn't crush him. How heavy would this cement column be in real life?
Wow, that's... He's crushing
500 pounds? 700?
My favorite part, too, is everybody's just watching him.
Like, no one's helping.
Nobody's running over and be like, oh, all right, let's help this guy. He's going to die.
Look at their face. Look at their faces.
Those two guys are exactly the same, just different color hair. They all look like Stallone, honestly.
Look at the veins coming
definitely
in.
Definitely the same shot from before, too.
Yeah.
I want that as like a photo on my wall too. That's my favorite.
Why is he hulking out though?
They're so limited because they can't literally make him a superhero. I think the writers of this cartoon wanted to give him superpowers so bad. They probably wanted to give him superpowers so bad,
right,
with everything he's doing.
Totally agree. Hey, watch this. He ends up just throwing it. Well, that's that. Brushes his hands off. So he pulls out his cell phone out of nowhere and calls Turbo. Turbo's already on the phone with him. I just love that quick segue.
Turbo, you read me. Loud and clear. What's going down?
Loud and clear. I've been on the phone the whole time waiting for you to call, Rambo.
Down.
They kidnapped Estrella.
I'm going to need you. Fast.
Estrella, the daughter, she's kidnapped. She's tied up. A little bit more of that S&M type stuff. She's tied up and gagged. Did you notice that?
It's yeah.
The way her arms are up and she's like, her breastises are like pushed out.
Breastises.
The Spikes gang is out there on guard. The daughter's kidnapped. Right now we have an old lady scrummaging through garbage. So the guy's like, hey, get away from here, old lady. And of course the old lady kicks his butt, throws him in the garbage can, closes the lid. We know it's Cat. Now, would this have been the same outcome had it just been Cat going through the garbage can? Like, why would it have mattered?
Yeah. Was it just? I think she just likes dressing up like people.
She does the big reveal after taking out the one guard. But what's the point of that? So she's at the base, takes out the guard, fair enough, but why dress up as the old lady?
Right, right. She could have easily just snuck over there.
Yeah, just taking them out. Yeah, taking them out. So now she's going to call Ramble.
Transmitter.
Yep. You find out anything?
They got Australia in a burned out tenement building.
So they're in a jet. You know how far and fast you go in these jets?
Mm-hmm.
How far away are they? They're already in New York. They're flying at 400 kilometers an hour, miles an hour, or whatever. You think they would overshoot where they're supposed to go? Or are they flying? Are they flying in circles?
We're in California.
See, look how far they go. Look at that. This is her whole purpose. She found the base. And then she says, this is where I am. I'm at the base. So now they know where to go. Why didn't Ramble just go with her to the base?
Makes no sense.
So Turbo gives Ramble a lift to the Bronx from the... how far is the Bronx from JFK, essentially?
JFK, it'd probably be about like 40 minutes, I would say, not without traffic.
Why are they in the jet?
Doesn't make sense.
Oh, wait. They were from the Pentagon. How far
was they were in Washington then.
That's right. My fault. Right. My apologies, folks. Okay. Don't send me an email.
Okay.
I lost track. Plot points. Lost.
We messed up. We messed up.
So Rambo's got a hang glider. So they're flying from the Pentagon. My bad. So now that the Bronx getting dropped off at the Bronx, Rambo's flying to the location of the beacon where Cat is.
John. Obvious action figure sale right there with the kite.
Yeah.
Wonder if they had that.
Now, what I love is Rambo doesn't fly this thing very well. So he kicks on the jets because he's about to crash into the building. The jets get him over the building, but I love how his crash landing, he's still able to land on the correct building all the same. What amazing luck Ramble has.
Yeah,
he's got bad luck and good luck.
After he lands, this is when he pants like heavily.
That's right. Yeah. So he hits the very building where Cat's being held. He breaks his back on the concrete windowsill. But you see how he kind of just jumps down the building like Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Why didn't he do this at the Pentagon? Why make the arrow?
No sense.
Okay. All right.
Understand that.
Why?
Yet again, I think it's filling time. They were just filling
why do that
the
at
animation
all?
Because why is he breathing? So why is he breathing like that anyway?
He's breathing harder with the paragliding accident than he did with the calm on his face. So look how he navigates down this building. Again, why did he just jump down at the UN? Why is he was literally like only 10 feet above the stairs at the UN. So this windowsill breaks, he catches himself, but it actually breaks in the very windowsill where the daughter's being held. How convenient. He sees that the daughter is, of course, being held at gunpoint. She's about to be killed. She's being mocked by the Okay. So Rambo throws the guy out the window. Essentially, he jumps and throws the guy out the window. But I think, oh, good. We're going to get an actual death. He's throwing him out of a six-story building here. There happens to be an air match. How convenient. So Rambo just takes care of that guy, but now General Warhawk's gonna walk in and says, no, this was a trap for you, Rambo. We caught you as well. This is all part of, we were never to kill the daughter. That wasn't the point. The point was to capture you as well.
I'm warning you, let her go.
She's going all right with me.
But he's gonna take the daughter away from this. Jerk face comes in with the chains, I think this is Jerk Face or Razor, one of the two. So he comes in with the chains. So they chain Rambo up. Now, you're thinking, Dom, if you were chained up, what are your options to break free of the chains?
What are the realistic options?
Yeah.
Maybe try to shimmy out of them, wiggle.
Shimmy out of it a little
wiggle
bit.
And...
So now we've got Rambo walking through fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got Rambo landing on his back on concrete. Rambo lifting up 700 pounds of concrete.
Throwing it.
Now he's chained up like Samson from the Bible. Isn't that the guy with long hair?
I don't even know.
Oh, it's a Bible story. Samson, he was chained to the pillars of the Bible. And he tore down the... Spike is filming this. He says he's filming this for the whole world to see.
I guess he's going to put it on YouTube or something. Rambo running away from rats.
For our listeners, I apologize. For our listeners, bless your hearts for going this far. Rambo's chained up. Spike's going to film the chain up. He's going to put rats on Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
That's this whole, Rambo's fear of rats.
So Rambo is going to be afraid of rats. This guy was like in a hole in Vietnam somewhere.
Here we go. Lights, camera, action.
The rats start gnawing away at Rambo. Like the one there in the middle of his gut. He's actually chewing on Rambo's navel there. But why do the rats just right away go to the human and start eating away at him? Wouldn't they just scatter around the floor itself? Why?
Yeah, I think this is the G-rated version of what they wanted to do. Maybe do some crazy torture with rats eating
and
him.
Why is he afraid? Rambo wouldn't really be afraid of rats, would he? I mean, he didn't like them so. In First Blood. He tore them off. To be fair, he did tear them off his backside.
Yeah, I guess they're going off that. They're going off that canon.
Do you think that rat scene had not taken place in the First Blood, that this scene would take place here? Do you think they're really borrowing from that?
I think they're borrowing. I think, yeah. I don't think it would have took place.
Dom, he breaks the chains with his chest muscles. Look at that. Man, I wish that actually happened for that show. That would have been amazing. So he literally breaks free from the chains. And the next segment here is just him.
Now this guy's definitely afraid of rats.
So now Rambo's in the base still. He hasn't escaped the base, but they're like, don't worry. The booby traps will get him. Like, he can't get away from these booby traps. There's
not
no way.
Booby traps.
The guy's like, yeah, he's not going to get away because we have these booby traps. He's laughing, thinks it's great. Now we cut back to the poor demise of the daughter. The General Warhawk's calling the president saying, look, give us absolute surrender of your country. This is how bad they want the country. Or your daughter's going to get it. We're going to kill her. So your daughter or your country. Fair enough. Okay. Now we go back to the Bronx base, mm-hmm. and this guy's like, oh, if Rambo falls down this pit, he'll fall down 20 feet. He covers it with a newspaper. So what I don't understand is, like, this is one hole.
Just
like,
one.
Why would Rambo just wander to that one hole?
Yeah, he's going to walk down that designated path.
So he reveals the hole and talks about it the whole time Rambo's behind the rock listening in. So here we go. More superhuman strength on me. Rambo picks up a 300-pound rock.
Look at that thing.
Throws it down the hole because he makes it sound like he found the hole because he does his own like voice.
Okay. That's a fucking wacky scream he does.
That was his wacky scream. So he thinks he's falling down the hole. So he looks down the hole like, Rambo, you fell down here? And then Rambo's like, nope. Leaps over, throws up, buddy, takes the gun away, kicks him in, down the hole he goes.
That guy, they don't show him die either, right?
No, he doesn't die. Now we have to deal with that electric fence, though. So Rambo starts shooting at Buddy. Look at this. But he misses, shoots at his feet, which was intentional, of course, because Rambo
wanted to kill
anybody.
He don't want to kill anybody, right?
So he shoots at his feet, but Buddy then lands into the electric barbed wire. It sets off his bullets on his guns, or his bullet belt,
A funny little gag.
Yeah, I know. It's very comical. Like, he's all smoke and fire. But here's Spike. How do we take care of Spike still? We got to take care of this guy. So the last booby trap gets Spike, of course, which was the old noose on the ground, step in it, hangs you upside down. Listen to the interplay between Spike and Bramble.
What are you going to do with those knives?
Tell me where the general took Estrella.
Some warehouse by the 3rd Avenue Bridge.
By the 3rd Avenue Bridge.
The 3rd Avenue Bridge actually is in the Bronx. So they
is it really?
Yeah. They actually did their geography correct.
Nice. Okay, so he's going to the 3rd Avenue Bridge. So Rambo's holding out his knife, and Spike's like, what are you going to do? You're going to torture me for information? So, of course, he's not going to show that or even really say the word torture in the kids' show. That's the sort of wink-wink. So Spike gives away the information right away, like, no, don't hurt me with that knife. And this is the gag.
Don't use that knife.
Okay, I was just going to cut you down. Hang in there.
That's a little gag there that he was just going to come down. But the whole last sequence is Rambo's on one of the motorcycles from the gang. The general decides, look, I'm going to kill your daughter instead of a trade. So basically what's going to happen is we're going to kill your daughter because the people now are going to uprise against you that you would not save your daughter to save your country. So they're going to uprise against you out of hatred because of the love they have for your daughter. So there's a train coming towards the daughter. Now, why doesn't she just roll off the track?
You would think that would be the smart choice. She's not bound to the track, right?
No.
Or is she? Oh, wait. Her feet might be.
Her feet are tight. See, this is what happens, Don, when you watch them.
You got to watch them 17 times, you know, to really get the full potential of the episode.
So the train's coming at her full throttle. Yeah, her feet are tight, but she should still lean forward. She'd only lose her ankles, at least not her body. But anyway, so Rambo's right on top of the train.
He does a somersault.
Why does he jump over this thing instead of just staying on the bike and ducking below?
Ducking, right?
Well, look how much aerial.
He's a gymnast. I love it that they make him like
But how's the motorcycle not moving still too? Like, he was just on it and it was going. He didn't. Anyways, he lands on it. It keeps going. Off he goes. He jumps off the train onto the train track, which would totally slow him down. Bad move. He should stay on the train. The train now slows down, so it doesn't want to hit Rambo. This part I love. So he's going to rescue the daughter off the train track. So he's going ahead of the train now. He's going to jump off the bike to get to the daughter. Slow motion leap, somersault, takes out the knife, cuts the ropes. There you go. Takes her off the train track and just barely misses the daughter. Saves the daughter.
That was a close one.
She hugs Rambo. You know there's a little bit of love here that the daughter has for Rambo, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Rambo kind of likes it. He, look at that. He rubs
her hand. They're definitely boning. He definitely boned the daughter.
I know I wear this necklace because of Cole, but she's
dead. She gave it to me. She died a couple of scenes later.
Now, they're watching this on YouTube now. This is a weird scene. So they're watching Rambo being covered in rats, and they think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't understand what this is.
Remember that part in the movie when I was covered in rats? You guys want to watch that again?
Get these things to work.
So he's talking about the computer. He can't get YouTube to work, says Troutman.
Here, let an expert show you.
I just love how Troutman can't figure out how to hit play. That's all that Turbo did was hit play on the tape cassette thing.
I love to see you squirm.
That's Ramble's yell.
That's when he's breaking the chains, I'm guessing.
No, he's freaking out because of the rats.
I feel like he never did that in the actual scene, though, right?
I don't think he did either, but he does it here in the replay.
Squirm.
What the?
If we're going to make it more Stallone, it's got to.
Take two.
Love to see you squirm.
Adrian! Rambo just looks all pissed off while they're laughing.
I know, it's weird. They're re-watching this.
Looks like Spike is learning that what goes around comes around.
I don't know.
Too bad they didn't eat him.
Yeah, I wonder why the rats didn't.
Professional courtesy.
That's the joke. He goes, I wonder why the rats
continued.
Yeah, to be continued. He goes, I wonder why the rats didn't eat Spike. Professional courtesy. Wow.
Is he saying he's a rat too? Like,
I guess. I don't know. Well, there you go, folks. That's episode 3
action of the Rambo.
That was an action pack.
That was, yeah, that was action.
Enjoyed that coverage. Yeah. So, reminder. This is the, we only have 2 more episodes left for the Rambo cartoon, episodes 4 and 5, which will end the mini series that was presented, I guess, to the cartoon company saying, hey, do you want to make more of these? So again, this one went full throttle, like Rambo superhero mode, like even more than the first two, which is odd. So I don't know what maybe they're just showcasing this episode. Look what we can make.
I think
Rambo
so. Yeah. I think they were like, let's really show it. Let's really show what he's able to do.
Send us the email, folks. Get your bourbon. Order your bourbon. Come on the bourbon show, which will be
never going to get your bourbon. We're going to be drinking another whiskey on that show. I have a feeling bourbon.
Bourbon, another whiskey, bourbon. Whatever. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. But Dom, this episode is over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off. It wasn't my podcast to host. You didn't. You asked me. I didn't ask you.